Welcome to Different Ways Summit, brought to you today by the Public Speakers Association. I'm so excited to introduce to you the amazing Ms. Shivani Ray. Shivani, why don't you take it from here?
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. So, how many of you have ever questioned your self-worth, your value, or caught yourself thinking, I'm not good enough? Well, guess what? You're not alone. At the end of last year, someone I greatly admired and respected questioned my value. This triggered an avalanche of emotions, and I found myself looking in the mirror, tears rolling down my cheeks. I felt broken, like nothing. I questioned my value, and I heard myself thinking, I'm not good enough. It's often experiences like these that lead to an emotional downward spiral, leading to states of depression or worse. Did you know that 45,000 people commit suicide in the United States every year? That's about 123 people per day. About 20% of teens will experience depression before they reach adulthood. And 1 in 6 Americans take antidepressants. That's over 50 million people. Today, more than ever, people are seeking solutions, so much so that the systematic packaging and selling of happiness is an industry estimated to be worth more than $10 billion a year, according to an article in Times Magazine. Now, I'm no mathematician, but I think you'd agree we have a serious problem. Now, I feel fortunate that I've grown up with personal development. My dad's a speaker, and I actually started speaking before him. So we joke saying that he's following in my footsteps. On top of that, I've been going to events since as long as I can remember. I've been speaking since 8 when I emceed an event for 2,500 people. I've grown up not only being raised by my parents, but raised by an entire community of like-minded professionals in their field who also guided us. We call it tribe-wise parenting. And I knew that this specific instant was not completely about the person who questioned my value. The way I was feeling was because of how I chose to process the information. And despite all my experience, in that moment, my humanness and my emotions took over. How many of you can relate to the difference of knowing something, but not being able to be that? But one thing that I've been taught to do was label how I was feeling. So I took a post-it note and I wrote down, not good enough. Now, it didn't make me feel much better, but I started to question why I was feeling that way. And here's the reality of the situation. No one actually made me feel the way I was feeling. I chose to feel that way. But knowing that, it didn't seem to actually help. It's like when you share a problem with a friend and they say, oh, don't worry, everything will be fine. They mean well, but in the moment, it's not much help. So how is it we as human beings believe others are responsible for our emotions? I mean, you're not their puppet, slave, or tool. So how is it possible that people completely lose control of their emotional state when faced with other people? We naturally blame others for our emotional state, saying things like, you ruined my day, you make me so angry, etc. No matter how limiting the circumstances may be, you always have a margin of freedom to act upon, no matter what it is. You have a choice to get sucked in into the negative emotion. Not to mention, when we are in emotional states as human beings, we tend to, well, to put it politely, our intelligence tends to drop drastically. As the distinction says, emotions high, intelligence low. And that's why when people are in high-pressure environments, they may make what we may see as wrong decisions. I watched a documentary recently called The Push about social compliance, where they saw how far could you push a person, possibly even to the point of that person pushing another living human being off a building. And throughout the documentary, the pressure, stress, and emotions of the person increased on major scales that led them to doing something that logically, normally, they would never do. And that right there just proves emotion high, intelligence low. And just for the record, nobody got hurt in the documentary. In our everyday life, we frequently must choose between multiple different possibilities. And of course, in a relationship with other people, we also have to choose, and we have the choice to act in different ways. A popular saying says, you need two to tango, and it's completely true. When faced with aggression, you have a choice to get sucked in, ignore it, or understand it. The same happens with sadness, fear, and a whole spectrum of emotions. It's not up to anyone else but you. So a few days after my breakdown, I came across the trailer for The Greatest Showman. And as I watched it, I felt moved, uplifted, and I fell in love with the song, This Is Me. I listened to the song over and over and over again, and there was one particular phrase that really resonated with me, which became my mantra. So I walked and stood in front of the mirror. And with a powerful voice, I stated, I am brave. I am bruised. I am who I'm meant to be. This is me. But I didn't just say it. I used a movement to go along with the words, also known as power posing or anchoring. Now, if you've ever watched a movie, then you'll know that movies use music to enhance the emotional journey of characters and the watchers. With every frame, filmmakers and videographers are trying to convey a specific emotion. The lighting, the location, the energy of the actor's delivery, these choices are carefully thought out and executed to put the viewer in a certain mindset that's open to the creator's intent. Of all the artistic tools at a filmmaker's disposal, it can be argued that music is amongst the most vital, and certainly one of the most powerful. Music, in a large part, dictates the emotions audience members will feel during what may be the most memorable moments of a film. It adds to the life of the story and can ultimately make or break an audience's experience. How many of you can recognize My Heart Will Go On from the movie Titanic? Every time I hear that song, it moves me. Now, if you've ever watched a movie without music, you can see the emotions. But when you hear music, you feel and connect with emotions on a deeper level. Elena Manns, author of The Power of Music, states that scientists have found music stimulates more parts of the brain than any other human function. That's why there's so much potential in music's power to change the brain and affect the way it works. Music evokes and engages our emotions in many stages of our lives, both individually and in groups. Music can evoke deepest emotions in people and help us process fear, grief, sadness, and resentment, even if these emotions are held on a subconscious level. And science but all confirms that humans are hardwired to respond to music. Like drugs, music can alter our mental chemistry. The same basic mechanism that makes you feel buzz post-espresso is what makes your head bob to the beat. It's been linked in multiple different studies to releasing dopamine. And dopamine is the brain's motivation molecule, an integral part of the pleasure-reward system, and serotonin, another pleasure chemical. The same chemicals that get released when you gamble, dance, eat food you love, and even when taking mind-enhancing drugs. And music has played an important part of every human culture, both past and present. People around the world respond to music in a universal way, and now advances in neuroscience enable researchers to quantitatively measure just how music affects the brain. The interest in the effects of music on the brain has led to a new branch of research called neuromusicology, which explores how the nervous system reacts to music. And the evidence is in. Music activates every known part of the brain. Listening to and playing music can make you smarter, happier, healthier, and more productive at all stages of life. How many of you have been to the gym, getting ready for a workout, and you play your song? You know what song that is for you. It's a song that gets you feeling pumped and ready to take on your workout. Athletes like Michael Phelps use music to get in the zone, also referred to as flow state. Now I want you to imagine this, a little girl staring at the surface of the ocean from 18 meters below the water off the coast of the Indian Andaman Island. A BCD tank device is strapped to her and her fins on her quite petite feet. It seemed that the blue of the water was endless, like looking up at the sky. You just don't know when it was going to end. Marine life of all shapes and sizes surrounded her. When suddenly she spotted a banded sea snake gliding and swimming up to the surface. And in that moment, she lost track of time. It felt like it was just her and the ocean, and nothing else in the world existed. That was the first time I experienced and was able to recognize flow. Now, the concept of flow was first coined in 1969 by Hungarian psychologist Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi's work on positive psychology. He described the mental state of flow as being completely involved in an activity for its own sake. The ego falls away, time flies, every action, movement, and thought follows inevitably from the previous one, like playing jazz. Your whole body is involved, and you're using your skills to the utmost. Now, what most people don't know is that some of his first participants were composers. Interesting, right? Now, I use music on a daily basis to get into flow, starting from the moment I wake up to the moment late at night working with headphones playing music I've selected that I know will keep me in a focused and flow state. Now, I highly recommend going sometime today, picking out a few songs, or even making a playlist of music that gets you into the state of flow. It will increase your productivity and creativity on drastic scales. Now, music and movement have been a big part of my life for as long as I can remember. I started performing at 2 or 3 on stage using modified sign language along with my singer-songwriter godfather, Carl Anthony. And I wrote my first song when I was 9, shortly after my adopted grandmother passed away of leukemia. At 10 years old, my family and I traveled the world together, which turned into a 5-year global adventure. During that time, one of the things we created was the Mantra Tour, in which we would take people from the U.S. and Canada on a personal development journey through India, starting in Delhi and making our way to one of the yoga capitals of the world, Rishikesh. On these tours, we got to experience India, but not only did we get to see the amazing things like the Taj Mahal and Akshardham Temple, but we also got to sing with the children in the slums. And what was incredible is how even though we didn't speak these kids' language, we were able to connect with them through music and movement. And every year, the kids we would visit would remember us and the music and movement that connected us. Since then, I've sung for audiences around the world and released my first album of positive music when I was 15 called Spreading Love. That was inspired by the 5 years of traveling in the slums and the people we met. I left home soon after I turned 15, and for the next 3 years, I traveled around the world learning and teaching business skills, stage anchoring, using movements to represent words and personal development. But the way we taught these skills was through an experiential gamified training. One of my favorite exercises was Rockstar Night, where we would teach about anchoring, stage anchoring, and how to be confident on stage through a rock star. We would also use hand-picked music to create certain environments for people to participate in and learn. And what I found was that it drove the lessons much deeper. One of the things I saw in that time was also how music and movement can change one's day almost immediately. Now, what I'm talking about is not new information. In ancient Vedic India, music has been used for personal and spiritual growth for thousands of years. In addition to music, they also developed 2 other modalities, mantras and mudras. Now, a mantra is a phrase or a Sanskrit word. The most common one that almost everybody has heard at one point in time is Om, which when chanted works on a vibrational level. For the modern age, it could be music, lyrics, or words. In our westernized modern-day spiritual practices, the word mantra has become a mainstream as intention. But the two are actually quite different. The word mantra can be broken down into 2 parts, man, which means mind, and tra, which means transport or vehicle. In other words, a mantra is an instrument of the mind, a powerful sound or vibration that you can use to enter a deep state of meditation or mindset. While mudra is a power pose, you may be familiar with one of the most watched TED Talks with over 45 million views, Amy Cuddy, on power posing. So right now, wherever you are, take a moment and take a notice of your body without shifting it right now. Notice the way you may be standing, sitting. Do you feel confident in the position you're in right now? If not, test stretching out your spine, sitting up in your chair, feet firmly planted on the ground. Take a notice of how it may have shifted your energy. Just by shifting little things like that can almost immediately have an impact on how you feel. Now, she states that standing in a posture of confidence, even when you don't feel confident, can boost feelings of being confident and might have an impact on our chances of success. Like the famous pose of Freddie Mercury with one hand straight up in the air, that is a confident pose that became world known. Now imagine if he stood there, hunched over, elbow bent. It definitely would not have the same powerful effect. But back to the point, certain movements and postures can have a powerful effect on your body and mental state. Taking the same philosophy of power posing, certain movements that resonate with you can have the same effect over a range of emotions. Now, traditionally, a mudra is a prayer or meditation posture, a physical gesture used by those who meditate, or as I say, any movement or power pose. I take a lot of creative license with both of those terms. I say any word or phrase that captures how you want to be, think, and feel is a great mantra. Or any body position that captures the meaning of those words, how you want to be, think, and feel, is a powerful, important mudra, movement, or power pose. So let's go back in time. I had enough awareness to become aware of how I was feeling. Not good enough. This allowed me to ask myself questions. So there I was, back in front of that mirror, and in that moment, I had an epiphany. Could music, mantras, and movement be strategically used together to cultivate emotional intelligence and a positive mindset? Well, to answer that, you first need to know what emotional intelligence is. Emotional intelligence, otherwise known as emotional quotient or EQ, is the ability to understand, use, and manage your own emotions in positive ways to relieve stress, communicate effectively, empathize with others, overcome challenges, and diffuse conflict. EQ also allows you to recognize and understand what others are experiencing emotionally. For the most part, this is a nonverbal process that both informs your thinking and influences how well you connect with others. Now, emotional intelligence is commonly defined by four attributes. One, self-management, your ability to control impulse feelings and behaviors, manage your emotions in healthy ways, take initiative, follow through on commitments, and adapt to changing circumstances. Number two is self-awareness. You recognize your own emotions and how they affect your thoughts and behavior. You know your strengths and weaknesses, and you have self-confidence. Number three is social awareness. You have empathy, you can understand emotions, needs, and concerns of other people. You can pick up in emotional cues and feel comfortable socially and recognize power dynamics in a group or organization. And number four is relationship management. You know how to develop and maintain good relationships, communicate clearly, inspire and influence others, as well as work well in a team and manage conflict. Now, intellectual ability, or your intelligent quotient, IQ, isn't enough on its own to be successful in life. Yes, your IQ can help you get into an amazing college, but it's your EQ that will help you manage the stress and emotions when facing your final exams or launching a new product. IQ and EQ exist in tandem and are most effective when they build off of one another. Now, there are so many ways to focus on emotional intelligence. But the area I focus on is the ability to be aware and control of your own emotions and emotional reactions. And when you use the tool, you can transform your life by changing the way you look at situations and your emotional response. Now, I believe, based on science, studies and my own personal experience that music, mantras, and movement together can help that. And that's what inspired me to develop the concept of neuro-lyrical anchoring, which I am now teaching to students, entrepreneurs, and corporations. Now, I know what you're thinking. How can I use this in my own life? Well, when a situation occurs in which you may catch yourself questioning your self-esteem, when you're sad, fearful, etc., first label it or become aware. So right now, think of a time where you may be feeling one of these emotions, like when you're going to an important meeting and you're a little bit stressed. In these moments where you're questioning your value or you're frustrated that things that you've been working on, you just can't seem to finish, write that down if you'd like. Now take a moment and imagine if you'd label it, whatever that is for you. Writing it down, saying it out loud, as long as you acknowledge it. Next, find and listen to a piece of music or a song that represents how you want to think, feel, and be in that moment. Once you've done that, you can go one step further and find a phrase or lyrics associated with the song. Lastly, say the phrase and use a movement to anchor the words for what I call a total body-mind tune-up. So in three steps, label the emotion, listen to a song that represents the way you feel, and number three, say the phrase you've created or found associated with the song along with a full body movement. Three simple steps, and when used, can have a powerful, lasting effect. Eventually, you may not even need to hear the music or even use the movement, but by starting off with these steps, you can anchor the feeling and ingrain it into your conscious and unconscious mind, and almost immediately see the effects. So if there's one thing to take away from my presentation today, is these steps. I encourage you to test this out for yourself. Explore how music, mantras, and movement can elevate your life. And if you'd like to learn more about how to use music and mantras to transform emotional states, such as worry, fear, self-doubt, anger, frustration, into states such as happiness, bliss, tranquility, peace, enthusiasm, I invite you to like my Facebook page where I'll be sharing more tips and tricks as well as give you information about my events and upcoming book coming out later this year, as well as connect with me for a free discovery call to see how to start tuning up your life and mind today. And I'll leave you with this. I encourage you to surround yourself with music that not only changes your state, but helps you tune up your mind. Thank you.